in the info war. You want to fight? You better believe you've got one.
Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Ja'Kari Jackson. This is what we have in store for you for this Tuesday, January 29th, 2013 edition.
Tonight on the InfoWars Nightly News, a police chief predicts that guns will be a thing of the past within a generation. Meanwhile, a gun buyback program turns into a full-blown gun show in Seattle. Plus, the father of the Oregon terror suspect says his son was brainwashed by the FBI. All that and more on the InfoWars Nightly News.
Top story headline. Police chief: within a generation, guns will be taken off the streets. These words said by San Diego Police Chief William Lansdowne, and we can see the quotes right there. These are the quotes said by somebody referencing Chief Lansdowne, who plays an active role in the Western region of the International Association of Chiefs of Police. The article goes on to point out that he's a supporter of Senator Dianne Feinstein's proposed assault weapons ban legislation. Now, for everybody, we've talked about this several times on our show, but just to keep in mind, this thing goes way beyond the 100, and I think it's 58 things Feinstein wants to ban. Just, I mean, guns will cease to exist under her new legislation, and you can see the article right there. But it goes way beyond the 158 proposed guns that would just cease to exist off the streets of the United States, and we actually have that list for you. And you can see the list right there. Several of, you know, big, scary-type guns, but it goes way beyond what's on that piece of paper right there. This thing bans pump-action shotguns and anything with two, quote, military characteristics. I'm going to give you this example. As absurd as impractical as this gun would be, it would be banned under the new legislation. Let's say you have a two-shot Derringer with a telescopic stock and a scope attached to it. This thing would characterize as an assault weapon. And I know that gun sounds completely ridiculous and highly impractical, but that would characterize as an assault weapon. It goes way beyond just the 158. So as we keep saying, call your representatives, your legislators, and let them know about this. Now, in contrast to our last story, we have our next story. Milwaukee County Sheriff, don't wait for the police, arm yourself. Very wise words. We'll take a look. Milwaukee County Sheriff David A. Clark Jr. has a message for residents in his jurisdiction. You can't rely on him anymore. Arm yourself, similar to what we heard police say in Detroit. Crime is relatively rare in Clark's jurisdiction. In 2010, the Sheriff's Department reported 2 burglaries, 9 robberies, and 0 murders. Even though he lives in such a low crime area, this police chief has a sense to still tell his citizens to arm themselves. And I like this quote from the mayor. Apparently, Sheriff David Clark is auditioning for the next Dirty Harry movie. And the police chief comes back and says the mayor was beaten nearly to death years back with, I believe it was some type of iron rod. Now, I like this police chief. I'm glad to see these sheriffs and these police chiefs speaking out. But the only thing I disagree with Sheriff Clark on is at the end of the article, you can see he says that he wants an armed, tactically trained officer in every school and public building. And that's a little too police state-ish for my taste. I don't want, you know, somebody, you know, asking me for my ID when I walk in the gas station or whatever the case may be. I'm not saying he's for, you know, going that far. But I think overall, he has some good ideas, and glad to see people like this Milwaukee County Sheriff standing up for your Second Amendment rights. We'll go on to our next story. Now, this goes in the epic fail category of the night. Backfire. Seattle gun buyback turns into gun show. I'm waiting for this to happen in the city of Austin so I can say, hey, Alex, I need an advance, and I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to buy everything I can. I'm not going to end up with 50 guns like he has, but, you know, whatever. Anyway, let's take a look. Police stood in awe as gun enthusiasts and collectors waved wads of cash for guns being held by those standing in line for the buyback program. Police officers in Seattle, Washington held their first gun buyback program in 20 years this weekend and soon found that private gun collectors were working the large crowds as little makeshift gun shows. People that had arrived to trade in their weapons for $102 buyback gift cards soon realized that gun collectors were there and able to pay top dollar for collectible firearms. Now, this is what's going to happen. First, they're going to say, hey, you can voluntarily turn in your guns, and then it's going to be like, you have to turn in your guns, and we'll give you this little dinky $200 buyback card. These things are valuable antiques, some of them. I mean, some of them are still fully functioning weapon, but these people are giving away their grandpa's musket he probably fought in some war with, because, I mean, if somebody breaks in your house and steals a musket, he's not going to go on a mass shooting. His little Prozac head won't even know how to load the thing. But let's see, the police chief, John Diaz, said he wasn't pleased that people were selling their guns, and he preferred that they wouldn't sell them. Oh, you can prefer what you'd like to. Now, this past weekend, myself and some other guys from the crew had a chance to go out to the Austin Gun Show, and there were many people there. If anybody, you know, in the local Austin area saw the news, you saw the news people, they got there at the very end of the gun show where there's like two people standing outside, and it's like, oh, this is the Austin Gun Show, nobody showed up. But you can see there clearly, I didn't take that picture, but I went to the Austin Gun Show. I probably got there about 10 or so a.m. on Saturday. There was a bare minimum 500 people waiting outside to get into this gun show. It was a huge event, and it really wasn't even a big building, but people didn't care. It was cold outside. People said, hey, I want my guns, I want my rights, and they showed up to that gun show to fight for their freedom. So you know it's bad when the police are telling you that you need a gun. And I'm just saying that we'll come protect you, but you need a gun yourself. So definitely keep that in mind. We'll switch gears now to father of Oregon terror suspect says teen suffered identity crisis when brainwashed by the FBI. Now, of course, we're referring to the Portland Christmas tree bomber of 2010. Osman Barr, the father of Somali-American terrorist suspect Mohammed Mohammed, said he was concerned for his son's safety when he contacted the FBI in 2009. Barr said Mohammed told him that he was planning to fly to Yemen to learn Arabic at a time when Barr was frightened by news of accounts of Somali-American teenagers joining the Mujahideen in Somalia. The stories led the father to contact the FBI, but Barr testified Monday that he now thinks it was an elaborate sting that brainwashed his son. And when people make claims like this, they don't believe them. Just like the father of the Reddit founder last week, he said, hey, the government killed my son. People said, oh, shut up, conspiracy theorists. And they're trying to do the same thing to this guy. Now, I'm not saying they did or they didn't, but I think people should definitely take this into account. If this is what the father believes, it definitely needs to be investigated. And InfoWars has been reporting on this since the very beginning. We'll go back at some throwback articles, if you will. Clueless Patsy set up by FBI in Christmas tree bombing plot. We'll take a look at just one section here. In a repeat of a now familiar pattern, the FBI told Mohammed they were building a bomb, just like they built a bomb for the original World Trade Center bombing, where the gentleman had enough sense to record his conversations, and that's really the only thing that, you know, kept him from, you know, the full fire of the FBI. And we'll move on to one more here. Contrived Christmas tree terror plot to stampede Portland into accepting FBI takeover. And we'll just slide down just a little bit. The FBI is notorious for recruiting clueless patsies in bogus terrorism cases. And yes, they do like to do that. It's nothing new. And hopefully that father can get some justice for his son. Now, we'll move on now. You guys have probably heard about the new immigration reform. And in Illinois, we have this headline. Governor Quinn signs a bill that lets illegal immigrants get driver's licenses. That's right. They're doing it in California, and they're doing it in Illinois as well as trying to take away your gun rights. Try to ram through two bills twice in 1 week, once on a Sunday. And this was actually signed on a Sunday, too. Let's take a look. The signing of the bill Sunday allowed illegal immigrants to obtain driver's licenses, attracted dozens of potential motorists, and a pack of top Illinois politicians. Now, we'll slide down here to an example. Carmen Costello, 52, witnessed the event and plans to apply for a license. She looks forward to finally being able to relax behind the wheel instead of constantly being afraid of the police. Her first joy is to go to the church, which, you know, I'm definitely happy this lady can go to the church. My problem with this is, as we reported a few months ago now, when they award people in California, you know, same thing, same privileges and rights of a driver's license, people don't like to say it, but these people are, you know, criminals. You can call them low-grade criminals if that suits you better. But they, you know, they committed a crime by illegally entering the U.S. And it's, I'm not against people coming to this country legally. I think, you know, naturalization, people joining the military, those are great things to have people come in to our country. But when you have people who break the law and then get rewarded for it, you know, you get this, you sneak past the border and you can get so far and then you get a free license. So if you can make it to Illinois, you get your free license. That's like saying if you break out of jail and you make it past county line, they just let you go. You know, it's pretty much the same thing. And the article goes on to say just one thing I like to point out. Illinois will not require applicants to be fingerprinted for fear that would discourage immigrants from applying. Wow. You know, I'm not a biometric guy. You know, I had to come here and get my Texas license to get my fingerprints taken. I didn't have to get my fingerprints taken in Oklahoma. When I came down to Texas, I had to get my fingerprints taken. But they're afraid of scaring away these illegal immigrants because of the fingerprinting. You know, but sneak past the border, get X miles, and you get a free license. That just doesn't make sense to me. Why do we have ICE and Border Patrol, especially Border Patrol out there risking their lives day in and day out? Brian Terry, I believe, was the guy killed in Fast and Furious. Why do we have these guys and these government organizations set up if we're just going to award the people that can sneak past them? That makes no sense to me. But why have the CIA track down drug dealers when the CIA flies the dope in? So kind of world we're living in. We'll move now to U.S. plans to add drone base in West Africa. Let's take a look. The new drone base in Africa that would expand its surveillance of al-Qaeda fighters and other militants in northern Mali. Two Obama administration officials said military planners are eyeing the West African country of Niger as a base for the unarmed Predator drones. But I assure you, it's nothing to arm these things. A U.S. defense official called the plan preliminary. If approved, the plan could fill a gap in the Pentagon's military capabilities over the Sahara, which remains beyond the reach of its drone bases in East Africa and Southern Europe. So think about this. Now, later on this week, I believe David Ortiz, he'll have a report where he goes out to the street and he asks people, what do you think about a fully mechanized robotic military? And people laugh. Oh, that's completely ridiculous. Oh, you get your information from InfoWars. Yeah, I watched MSNBC. They told me not to listen to you. And the thing about this is we have drones not just based here in the U.S. that fly in the U.S. border, U.S.-Mexico border, U.S.-Canada border. They have drones in the sky. They have the Robocod in the sea. They have walking tanks in DARPA that look like the big walking tanks from Star Wars. That stuff is real. We've shown you the clips. But the thought of a fully mechanized, you know, military, people think is laughable. It's very real and it's coming. Just like the, what is it, Iron Man 2. That's what, you know, the subtext of Iron Man 2, the guy created a fully mechanized military, you know, of robot drones. I mean, the stuff is everywhere. So yeah, it's real. It's coming. And so don't just jump up and down about, you know, kids getting shot, which that is a tragedy. Don't let me downplay that. But Obama, if you're going to take your gun policy from children, why don't you ask those same kids on the stage how they feel about little kids being killed in drone attacks? Kids getting their faces blown off. You didn't ask them that, I don't imagine. And we'll go to our last story of the night. Over 40 children paralyzed by vaccines in one village. One village. Let's take a look. Christina England reports that on December 20th, 2012, a vaccination tragedy hit a small village in Goro, located in northern Chad, Africa. According to the newspaper Lavoe, out of 500 children who received the new meningitis vaccine, MenAvVac, at least 40 of them between the ages of 7 and 18 have become paralyzed. Those children also suffered hallucinations and convulsions. But it's not the vaccine's fault, according to the pharmaceutical agencies, according to, I'll just throw his name out there, guys like Bill Gates, who's pushing these vaccines, and many other people as well. But, you know, these things are supposed to protect you from these, you know, deadly viruses or flus or whatever the case may be. But when you get sick from it, it's everything's fault except the vaccine. So please educate yourself. Educate before you vaccinate on any type of vaccine, before you give this not only to yourself but to your children who have a much more difficult time fighting it off. Now, we'll move now to our quote of the day. This one from Daniel T. Gushing. Let's see what he has to say. Let us control the money of a country, and we care not who makes its laws. This is the maxim of the House of the Rothschilds, and is the foundation principle for European banks. If a country and its people are mortgaged for the assessed value of their property, and the bankers control the money. The bondholders and not the people own that country. It makes no difference whether you call it a republic or a monarchy. Definitely some cold, cold words to live by. Now that does it for our news portion. Right after this break, I'll be back with Urien Masson of ExplosiveReports.com. But since you're here, if you want to support this broadcast, go over to the InfoWars store and check out our latest video. Well, not our latest video, but a good video. The Greater Good, exposing the scourge that is vaccines. You guys heard us talk about the kids getting sick, 40 kids out of 500 being paralyzed, as well as other health effects. So definitely check that out. Read that. Give that to every new mom, new dad. Give that to your pediatrician. They probably won't watch it, but Lord knows that you tried. So do that. Check it out. And we'll be back right after this message with Urien Masson.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Fellow freedom lovers, Alex Jones here with the biggest contest announcement we've ever made. This is so incredibly exciting. We are launching Operation Paul Revere. What did Paul Revere do? He rode through the countryside in New England saying, to arms, the redcoats are coming. Oneth by land, toeth by sea. And all that evil men and tyrants need to flourish is that good men and women do nothing. Let me officially announce Operation Paul Revere, a $100,000 cash first place winner to be judged by yours truly, Alex Jones. The film can be 3 minutes. It can be up to 2 hours. It can be fiction, nonfiction, documentary, drama. It's got to promote liberty and freedom and expose tyranny and oppression. And it's not just people in the U.S. that can enter. It's folks worldwide. The rules, the details are at Infowars.com/contest. You have to read the rules and officially sign up for this because it's a $100,000 prize, first place, $10,000 second place, $5,000 third place. But just as I did last year with a reporter contest, we are going to crowdsource from the pool of incredible talent out there and hire several official crews to be directors and writers and camera people in InfoWars.com produced major films and documentaries that will be put in movie theaters and on cable. And I've got all the connections to get it done. Together, we're going to really give the New World Order hell. This is extremely exciting. I've made over 20 films. One of them alone has reached more than 40 million people on YouTube and Google Video. The Obama Deception, Endgame, Fall of the Republic, Road to Tyranny. Films are the most effective thing I do, but they're very time consuming. And so I want to turn the power of we the people loose here. And your art, your research, your ideas are unstoppable. We're officially kicking the contest off this Friday. And you've got a little more than 3 months until April 30th. Just a little more than 3 months to produce your documentary or your film and get it out. And it will absolutely reach tens of millions of people. Our normal contest get about 500 entries. That's what $10,000 prizes. This is 10 times that. 100,000 for first place. That's one of the biggest contests out there. In fact, it's the biggest next to Doritos that has $100,000. This is huge, ladies and gentlemen. $115,000 in cash prizes and a shot to have your film produced and financed by InfoWars.com. Edit it, upload it to YouTube and one other alternate public video site, and send your entry to Paul Revere at InfoWars.com. The animating contest of liberty that Thomas Jefferson talked about is happening right now. The modern battlefield is in the mind more than ever. We use truth. The globalists use lies and deception. The corruption and oppression and high-tech police state is in our face. But the controllers are scared. They intended to use the internet to dominate and control humanity and surveil us. But we've turned their system against them. This is a historic crossroads that we have reached. And I ask you to ride in the year 2013, just as one of the founders of this republic did back in 1775. I'm calling you to arms in the info war because the pen and the video camera is mightier than the sword. Let's go in there and rescue humanity and awaken them and set brush fires in the minds of men and women everywhere. Be part of this contest. You've got 3 months. Put your hat in the ring. Be part of the solution to the corruption and oppression. Be part of the resistance to tyranny. We're looking for the Paul Revere's that will drive a stake through the New World Order's wicked heart. ProPure is introducing Pro-1. All of your filtration in one system, portable, on the go. This is the Pro-1 by ProPure. You wanted it, you got it. No more do you have two or three filters to just reduce sodium fluoride. You have a system that cuts out the sodium fluoride and up to 95% of hydrofluorosilicic acid. Advanced manufacturing technology combines silver impregnated white ceramic with new Aquametics advanced media for removal of fluoride and other heavy metals, all in one filter element. It cuts out the acid derivative of fluoride. It is the only one that does it. And out of the gates, we have it discounted at 10% off with promo code WATER. This is the only system that in one unit helps reduce or remove pesticides, herbicides, chloramines, ammonia, and chlorine, hydrofluorosilicic acid, the most common form of fluoride not covered by other fluoride filter brands, and sodium hexafluorosilicate. This is a revolution against the tyrants. They love putting the toxic acid base of fluoride into your water. They love the fact that it's an adjuvant supercharging the trace Prozac in the water and the hormones and the other chemicals. By cutting out fluoride, you cut out the turbocharger in all the poison being artificially introduced into your body. This is what I use. It's a win-win. You get a high-quality product at the lowest price. You support the InfoWar. Get your ProPure with a new Pro-1 filter today at InfoWarsStore.com or by calling 888-253-3139. Alex Jones here with a message that could revolutionize health in this country. Going back about a year and a half ago, I began to learn about the incredible health effects of longevity products. Aaron Dykes lost 92 pounds. We're going to show you some before and afters. Aaron, break down what happened, your story.
I've worked really hard with diet and exercise to try to lose weight, but I just didn't get the results. It just didn't happen. Then I saw what you were doing with InfoWarsTeam.com. I wasn't even trying to lose weight, but I got it because I wanted to feel better energy. I wanted that nutrition. Didn't even understand how that could kickstart my own weight loss goals. But the products did that for me. I found myself suddenly losing weight, more energetic, wanting to exercise, wanting to eat the right foods.
And they don't even advertise it as weight loss. I want to challenge our radio listeners to go to InfoWarsTeam.com. Sign up as a distributor and get wholesale pricing discounts at InfoWarsTeam.com.
And welcome back. Our guest tonight is Yuren Masson. He is an investigative writer for ExplosiveReports.com and also contributes to InfoWars.com. He joins us now via Skype. Welcome to the show, Yuren.
Thanks.
Okay, now, Yuren, we have several things we want to talk about with you tonight, but I want to start with one particular one. You wrote an article just recently. It was about the Rothschilds hoarding gold. Here it is. Headline, House of Rothschild hoarding gold in face of coming collapse. Now, why would the Rothschilds be doing something like hoarding gold?
Well, they've been doing it for quite some centuries now, hoarding the gold and selling those assets of gold to the kinds of nations they want to control or they want to have as engine for their own agenda. And my thesis in that article is that they are hoarding the gold and redistributing the gold towards the East, towards China particularly, so they can use China as their new economic engine for the world.
Okay. Now, when you hear people say, you know, if you're hoarding gold or if you're interested in gold, if you're, you know, prepping or whatever the term is, they say, oh, you're some crazy conspiracy theorist. So if you're a conspiracy theorist for having a little bit of gold, maybe you go out and you spend a little bit every paycheck, but the Rothschilds are clearly hoarding gold, as you say, been doing it for centuries. How does that logic line up? Why wouldn't somebody want to have a little bit of gold stored up for their own personal use?
Well, gold is especially valuable, of course, and most libertarians and people of the Austrian School of Economics know this, and they accurately describe gold as the most valuable asset you can have, the most stable one over the course of some time, especially in contrast to the fiat fiasco. Right. Which the central banks are pushing, and the Rothschilds are pushing as well. But the elite knows, just as the wise ones among the economists know, that gold is the most precious of jewels and the most stable of jewels. So they naturally, I think, want to hoard that stuff and redistribute it, in this case, transfer a lot of wealth to the East, so they can use the East, China, as their new political and economical engine, because that's where the future will lie. And of course, fiat-based economies will eventually crash. Exactly. And gold is the most valuable and most stable of assets. So I think that's the main reason behind that.
Okay. Now, just real quick, in your research, let's say somebody was interested in getting into precious metals and, you know, having something beside the fiat currency, would you recommend gold? Would you recommend silver? Would you recommend anything?
Well, silver particularly, I think, but gold, of course, also. It's something to recommend. I mean, it's again, it's the most stable of assets to have and to hold, and of course to sell through, especially when the price is right. I think in this case, the Rothschilds have abandoned their trust openly in gold in the early part of this decade, but that was just a smart maneuvering to bring the price down, because apparently the Rothschilds were losing interest. So why should we keep them? Right. We, as being the mainstream economists, and I think that's the reason, because they could sell it up real cheap, and then knowing that the price would rise again, sell them for a good price, and also maintain their monopoly position as a family in the East.
Okay. Now we'll switch gears here to something that you were interested in talking about. I have this article headline: Population Control Advocacy Group, Humans Equal Locust. Now, we've heard people such as Bill Gates, Ted Turner saying they want to significantly reduce the world population. But can you explain to us this particular article and what lies therein?
Sure. It was David Attenborough, the famous conservationist, who recently told, I think, the Radio Times, that people equal a plague. Humanity equals a plague. A plague which spreads and consumes and then dies. That's his philosophy of mankind. And he has stated that and created quite some stirring, because again, it was clear that a large part of the British elite have felt this way for a long time, that the population needs to be curbed and needs to be culled. So that's the main thing about it. I wrote about a reaction to this comment by Attenborough, by the British advocacy group Population Matters, and they have responded to Attenborough's comment by saying, "Well, surely he didn't mean that we are a disease. He probably just meant we are a plague of locusts."
Yes.
That's it, which consumes all that it sees and then dies off. This is a literal quote. Mm-hmm. Well, that's about the content of this article.
Yeah, and I remember I believe it was in that article, you had the clip of Agent Smith from the Matrix movie, where he has the scene with, I forgot his name, Morpheus, yes. And yeah, he's saying that human beings are a disease, they're locusts, they need to be controlled and pretty much wiped out. And as you said, the people say, well, we're not saying that you're a plague, you're a disease. We're just saying that you're locust. You just consume everything and then you move on to this thing and move on to the next area. And they're basically saying you're insects. And right. That's how they view the rest of the world.
Yes, it is a certain outlook on humanity, on mankind, on man, as an insect, really, which just multiplies, spreads to areas, and consumes the natural resources. Of course, there can be said a lot about depletion of natural resources by people, but usually it's the elites of the country, the great corporations, people like Al Gore, actually, right, who consume the most and deplete the most. So it's but to then spread this argument to all of mankind is actually dehumanizing, I think.
Exactly. And Al Gore, you know, he has multiple homes, some on the ocean, and I believe the last estimate I heard was he has a $30,000 electricity bill. Mr. Carbon Tax is, you know, trying to tell you that you should turn off all the lights in your house, but he has a $30,000 electricity bill. Now we'll move on to this next article that you have about the crocodile hunter's daughter. Now first, can you tell us a little bit about the content of her essay and then Hillary Clinton's reaction to that?
Yes, she was invited in the first place by Hillary Clinton's initiative on the, it's like a blog on the State Department's website, an e-journal it's called, and as part of the Endangered Species Initiative, the little Irwin was asked to write an essay on how she became involved in the entire wildlife conservationism. Then Irwin, in all of her innocence, I think, wrote a typical neo-Malthusian essay describing the same old story that people are responsible for all of the calamities which befall mankind, and therefore people should be culled. I think the little Irwin did it out of a real conviction. It's not really evil, I think, but still the State Department's or Hillary Clinton's specific blog's reaction to this was they just censored the entire essay and retracted it altogether in the end, because little Irwin would refuse to change her story. I think this signifies in the end that the government, the American government, but also the European ones, are extremely cautious in regards to this this matter, because they have found that people I think look through their facades about population control, using climate change as an excuse to push population control programs, and therefore are skirmish when a little Irwin wrote her little neo-Malthusian tract.
Right. Now, do you think, you know, Clinton, was this something that she said, I just don't want people to think about this in the forefront, or was there something else involved? Why do you think that they marked out so much of what Irwin had to say?
I think what you said, I think people don't need to think about that on the forefront, because that's something we'll arrange on the background. I think that's that about sums it up, because it has been known from Hillary Clinton. She's a rabid advocate of things like how do you call it, the American-based population control group. Right. All those matters, and she is on record as saying that people should not use the words population control, but just stay with climate change.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now I got one final article as far as the population control. This one is about Prince Harry and his quote, humanity reaching plague proportions. Now this kind of ties into what we were talking about earlier with Agent Smith and the Matrix movies, but can you break this down to us for a little bit?
Sure. It was Prince Philip in 1984, the father of the current Prince of Wales, who said humanity is reaching plague proportions in 1984, that is. Signifying date, by the way.
1984,
right. And he said that. Also, the plague comment is repeated. This is from 1984. This video, which I show on my website, has been known for quite some time. It's not new, but I would I printed it up again to relate it to Attenborough's comments recently about people being equaling a plague, and of course the response by population groups to that. No, we're just locusts. And then Prince Philip said, well, we're reaching plague proportions, and therefore we need to be culled. They're on record saying this all the time. So it's nothing really new about that, but I think something which has to be emphasized over and over again. What do these neo-Malthusians say? Why do they say it? And where do they come from? And that's about this article. It also recaps a recent study by Paul Ehrlich, that's one of the writers of Ecoscience, which Alex covers extensively in his program, in which is called for mandatory sterilizations and putting sterilants in the water supply, you name it. And Paul Ehrlich is one of the founders of these kind of thinking, and he wrote a paper recently called "Can a Collapse of Global Civilization Be Avoided?" And of course, that's a very strange question, because yes, it can, but no, it cannot. Just how you view the world. And Paul Ehrlich is very clear. Yes, population reduction is a monumental task, but we can do it if we create global environmental governance. So that's, again, global government in your face. And the Prince of Wales, the son of Prince Philip, responded to this on his own website. I have the link to that in my article, where he just endorses the entire project. So it goes from father to son, and it is something of the typical of the aristocratic elites of Europe indulging in these matters.
Exactly. Now, we don't want people to think that you're blowing smoke, so we actually have that clip of the prince in 1984, and we'll show that clip right now.
95% of the whole of the Atlantic rainforest in Brazil has disappeared in the last 100 years. There is simply nowhere for these animals to live. At the basis of it all is this colossal increase in the human population. It's one of the living species of the planet, but it's reaching plague proportions.
All right, so you see it right there, straight from the horse's mouth. Now, you had one other thing that you wanted to mention. I thought this was pretty interesting. We have this article from the New York Times. The Queen says she will step down. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, she has stepped down officially yesterday at about 7 o'clock our time. She went on television saying that she will step down after 33 years or something being a queen and being a yearly, annual, and loyal member of Bilderberg, by the way, and transferring her powers to her son. That's William Alexander. And her son will now continue the same old agenda, I think, which Beatrix has pursued for quite some time, and her father before that, because Prince Bernhard, that was the father of Princess Beatrix, right. Queen Beatrix, has, of course, founded the Bilderberg Group. So it will be a continuous agenda. It will be brought, and it is being brought in our Dutch mainstream media as quite some change. The royal house will be renewed. There's new blood, etc. But it's as old as it can be, because the agenda is age old, and any member which carries the torch at any one time is just pursuing the agenda which has been laid out for quite some centuries. It's quite a subject.
All right. Now we're about to the end of our interview, so closing remarks, you're in.
Well, I'd like people to just really investigate population control and all related matters, because I think in the future, in the near future, we will hear a lot more about from these neo-eugenicists, because that's what they are, and they will use any kind of excuse to push population control to the forefront, but they will decide that. There will be different factions among that. You will have the State Department or governmental factions, which will be openly reserved, but you will have the scientific factions, the scientific dictatorship behind that, which will be quite open, and they're already depopulating us at a mass scale by, for example, fluoride and other measures, anti-sterilization agents in vaccines and in GM foods. So I think this will be just a continuation of that entire concept, but will be increased in the next, in the coming years, because the climate change agenda has had its long time, and it is being discredited. It has been discredited, actually. So well, they will come up with new things, new kind of pollutions, which mankind, the plague mankind, is responsible for. And therefore, we will be culled. So I think that will be increasingly obvious, and people should really investigate this.
Exactly. Now, speaking of investigating this, are there any resources or anything that you would recommend to somebody who's, you know, they're kind of on the fence? They hear, you know, the Rothschilds, they hear Al Gore, and, you know, they hear people like you, and they don't know what to decide. What would you recommend to somebody who wants to research this further?
I seldom recommend Google, but in this case I would, because just enter in a search engine population control and just do your own research in regards to this. Also investigate the UN. Go to their own website and find documents just in their own search engines, in their documents about population stabilization. Use the euphemisms that the UN is accustomed to using. So outright population control will not be deliver as much searches, but you can just research on the websites of the transnational organizations themselves if you're interested in this subject, and you'll find all kinds of dirty material.
Exactly. Yuri Masson, thank you for your time, sir.
Thank you, sir.
And that brings us to the end of our show. But if you'd like to find out more of what Yuri was talking about in that interview, check out the InfoWars store and check out Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement. It has the depopulation plan as well as many other things. A great film by Alex Jones. So be sure to check that out. And also check out the InfoWars store for the new ProPure units. We have the new ones in. It's an all-in-one unit. It has the carbon water filter along with the fluoride filter in one element. So save yourself some time, save yourself some money, and get that today. And also, if you'd like to support our broadcast, stop by PrisonPlanet.tv. Get a membership. You can have up to 10 people on one membership. Many great special reports, the nightly news, the Alex Jones Daily Show, and also many other things, the rants, the movies, all of it is right there on PrisonPlanet.tv. Well, I'm Jakari Jackson, and that's going to do it for this edition of the InfoWars Nightly News. We'll see you tomorrow night.